Crazy how we think that church is all about the preaching and the music. And yet it's all about Jesus. It's about his presence. We can find his presence in stillness and in silence. We can find his presence despite what one of the stories tell us. But Jesus is in the midst of the storm. He's not only found in the still, quiet space. Last week we started a series called Under the Microscope, and I believe it's going to be a challenging series. I want to just put it out there before we go further this morning that we're going to be looking at favorite scriptures, favorite verses, popular scriptures, popular verses. And so some Sundays you might be sitting here and you might be going, well, I knew that, and that's awesome. I want you to hear that. That's an encouragement that you're actually on the right track, that you're on a journey. Not every scripture that we're going to be unpacking is going to have profound moments. Some of them are just going to be straightforward biblical teaching that we need to just hear. That's what it means. And we go, I know that. Thank you for sharing that. So then we're going to go down this journey. This morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time with a guy named Joshua. Everybody heard of Joshua? I feel charismatic this morning, Pentecostal. Everybody say Joshua. I say, you guys do that. I must do this more often. Hey, there we go. Is that how they do it? Okay. okay, I'm going to try that a bit more. Okay, you guys were really good. I'm really impressed. So we're going to spend a bit of time with Joshua. And specifically this morning, we're going to be looking at Joshua 1, verse 9. But I don't know why it's just verse 9, because it's verse 5. And verse 6 and verse 7, verse 8 and verse 9, all has this concept of be bold and courageous. Translations differ. One says strong and courageous. I like the be bold and courageous translation. I prefer. So that's what the message is. We put in this concept. How many of you, is that a scripture you know? Joshua 1 verse 9, be bold and courageous. How many of you would say it's one of your favorite scriptures? How many of you use it? Be bold and courageous. When I get onto the golf course, be bold and courageous. I can do that. You know, when I watch Liverpool play, I'm going, be bold and courageous, guys. When I watch Man City play this afternoon, be bold and courageous, you know. It's a scripture we use, and I think so often we use it completely out of context. Completely out of context, because we like be bold and courageous as I go into the shopping malls. Be bold and courageous when I go shop. Be bold and courageous when I have to face people. Be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. But let me give you a bit of history to the story. So this morning we're going to preach a little bit about Bosch Josh. Am I allowed to call him Josh? Bosch Josh. Boss Josh. Joshua. Joshua, not you. Joshua. Okay. So I want to start this morning by reading from Exodus 33. This is the beginning of Joshua. Just to give us a little bit of insight to this story. I want to read from Joshua 33. Listen to me. It's like 1 Corinthians 4:13 I said last week, apparently. But Joshua, Exodus. Kevin. Exodus 33. And I want to read from verse 7. Verse 11 is the key verse, but I want to read from verse 7. Exodus 33 and verse 7 to 11. And I'm praying that this is where we're going to find ourselves this morning as we go from here into offering, into communion, and we're going to just worship a little bit. So I'm going to read from the NIV, because that's the version I have in front of me. From verse 7, Exodus 33. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. This is the beginning of Joshua's story. I love how the beginning of Joshua's story is found in the presence of God. I love that we miss that. I love that a verse that is hidden away in Scripture, and in many ways it is hidden away, because most of us don't go and read Exodus over and over and over again. We read through the Old Testament, we go, Old Testament done, we're off to the New Testament, that's where it's all about. But there's so much strength and so much truth that we find. And I love that this young age, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. This is the beginning of Joshua's story. I wonder where your story started. I wonder where your story started. I wonder where you were as a young man or as a young woman. I wonder where your story started. We wonder why Sunday school, or we call it Kidsville, is so vitally important for the younger generation. It's for that reason. Are they dwelling and are they lingering in the presence of God? It rubs off on us. When you linger in the presence of God, when you stay in God's presence, when you rest in the tent, His presence rubs off on us. I mean, it's something that's so important. So that's the beginning of Joshua's story. But Joshua's story comes into a fullness, and as Deuteronomy ends and Joshua begins. So in Deuteronomy, we read the fact that Moses dies. Moses' ministry comes to end and he dies. And Joshua picks up the mantle. And so I read from Joshua chapter 1, and I want to read from verses 1 to 11. But in many ways, it's chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Just read the whole book of Joshua, and you'll get the fullness of Joshua's call. But I want to just read from verse 1 to 11 because of the time that we have in us. Anybody limited for time this morning? Are we good? Can we finish around about 12:30, 1? We good? Cool. I like you. You're all on board. Halfway through my message, halfway you're going to get up and walk out. Joshua from chapter 1 from verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Just want to bring this into context. It's the same Joshua. Joshua, Moses' aide, the son of Nun. Exodus 33, same Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them. To the Israelites, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. There's so much in that. There's so much in that. And I wonder if we truly, truly, truly can understand and grasp the fullness of what God is giving Joshua and what God gives to us. This call to be bold and courageous, to be strong and courageous. This call to be strong, to be bold and very courageous. It's not just for your personal life. It's not just for the journey that you're on. There's so much more. It is for that. Please don't get that. It is for that. God calls you to be bold. He calls you to be courageous in your personal living space, in your family space, in your journey. But he calls you to do something. It's not just for your self-benefit. He calls you to do something for others. And so last week, we started this series. And what I forgot to say to you last week is that this whole series is grounded in Scripture. It's not just some random idea. It's grounded in Scripture. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, we read these words. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Another translation says it like this: study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. That's why we're putting the Scriptures under the microscope. That's why when I did the challenge and I was like, Cindy, I need a microscope, and I got told it's biology. And I was like, yeah, it is biology because it's the living word. And the word comes alive. And that was a good space for me because we're going to examine God's living word. It's alive and it's active and it's inside of us. And we need to embrace that. We need to live that. So as we delve deeper today, I think last week we looked at Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things. And I hope that you were a little bit challenged. I hope that your eyes were open just a little bit more to the broader context of what that verse actually means. What it can mean, what it should mean in your life. And I hope that when I went to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13, that you didn't hear that and that you didn't go look it up because it had nothing to do with the message. But maybe God was speaking to somebody and you needed to hear that. So apparently Jason did because he picked it up. So I'm not sure what that verse says. But apparently I went there and that's just okay. But today we're going to spend time with Joshua. I'll try and stay with Joshua. Today we're going to spend time with what it means to be bold and courageous. And in order to do that, I think it's so important that we have a background, a context to who Joshua is, a context to the story, a context to where he's going. He was Moses' aide. I've said that already. He begins his time, he begins his ministry, he begins his life spending time in the presence of God. When you spend time in the presence of God, God is going to use you. When you spend time in the presence of God, God is going to use you. And so the question is, why don't we spend more time in God's presence? Is it perhaps possible that we don't want to be used? Is it perhaps possible that we see what ministry looks like and we step back and we go, that's for them. I'm just going to have brief moments. I'm going to stand at the tent, my tent, and I'm going to watch Moses and the others meet at their tents. And I'm going to watch the cloud of glory and I'm going to watch the anointing. But I'm going to stand here and just worship from a distance because this is my safe space. Because I'm here, I don't have to do anything. Because if I'm here, I'm not going to get pushed. If I'm here, I can just go quietly back into my tent and carry on with my lives. I believe that's a real space for most of us as we sit here today. We stay in our own tents and we watch from a distance as God works, as God does. Joshua made a decision. He said, no, I'm not only going to be with Moses, but with a boldness and a courage at an early age. I want to say this, long before God encouraged him, at an early age, Joshua said, no, I'm going to stay. And I'm going to rest. And I'm going to linger in the presence of Almighty God. I want more of that cloud. I want more of that presence. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. How many of us this morning can honestly say we're ready to linger? We're ready to linger in the presence. We're ready to linger in the story of God so that God can infuse us. I love that word. It was my word from last week. That God can infuse us with all of His glory, with all of His goodness, with all of His love, with all of His joy, our church, it's just such a real space. So Joshua starts his life lingering in the presence of God. Here's my question. How many of you went to Sunday school? Actually, did I? I think I did. I can't remember. I'm old. How many of you went to, I did. I went to Guild. That gives my age away. Dawn. How many of you went to Guild, which would be Friday night youth? Guild? Okay, Guilders? Guilders? You're all old, eh? I just want to tell you that. Friday night youth? Right, so you've lingered. You've been in the presence of God. You've spent time in the tent of meeting. I want to ask you this morning, where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you? Where are you serving? Where has God called you into? Where have you put your hand up? Where are you now? Or have you just drifted away? You know, that good old story in the traditional churches, we get confirmed and we drift away. And we find ourselves late 20s, early 30s, hopefully when life has happened. And maybe we've got a kid. And we need to get back to church to have the baby baptized. And then we drift away. It starts with spending time in the presence of God. And in this space, because he's been Moses' aid, when Moses dies, Joshua is tasked with the mantle. God recognizes him. God sees him. God says, I've seen you. You've spent time with me. I have a mantle of leadership that I want to bestow on you. If I was Joshua, I would have gone, thank you, but no thanks. I lead about 700 people in this church. Joshua must have led thousands. 700, I'm out of here. Thousands, I don't want that role. I don't want that role. And it's not just that, but he watched the people as they lived. They muttered, and it's pretty much the church today. They muttered, and they murmured, and they were never happy, and it was always somebody else who did this, and there was a problem here, and there's a person there, and blah, 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 blah. And none of them bothered to spend time in the presence of God. Can I tell you why? Because if you spend time in God's presence, you would stop mumbling, you would stop murmuring, you would stop moaning, you would stop complaining, and you would start doing. Not for your glory, not for your fame, not for the title, but to serve Jesus. That's Joshua. He just wanted to serve. And so when God comes to him and says, Joshua, the time is now, so take this mantle, take the leadership, lead the people of Israel. I don't ever see Joshua saying no. I don't ever see Joshua questioning God. He just says, you've called me. You've anointed me, you've appointed me, I'm ready to go. And so Joshua starts this selection that he's called into, and he begins this journey of leading God's people. And he says to them, listen, guys, he gets his leaders, and he says, go and tell the people in 3 days, we're going to be moving through the river. 3 days. Now you've got to get the understanding here. For 40 years, they have wandered around. For 40 years. And all of a sudden, Joshua comes and he says, in 3 days, pack up, we're moving into something new. Not something known, not something that you understand, something new. They've never been on that side of the Jordan River. They've never crossed over to the people. He says, in 3 days, we're going to be moving over. You can imagine the chaos. You can imagine the conflict. You can imagine the confusion. What do you mean 3 days? Give us time. Moses gave us years in order for us to process what we needed to process. We took 2 weeks to break up camp and 2 weeks to set up camp. No, 3 days. 3 days and we're moving, because when God calls you, God moves you. Listen, church, when God calls you, God moves you. He doesn't want you stuck in the same place. He doesn't want you wandering around in square circles. He wants to move you into the promise that he has in store for us. So Joshua is tasked to lead the people into this promised land. That requires more than just a little boldness and more than just a little courage. I love what we don't get and what we don't see in Joshua 1. I love that the two things here. I love that the Jordan River is in flood during that stage. And it's in Scripture in chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet, as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. I love that. Could you imagine being the priest? This was the instruction. The priests are going to go before you with the ark, and they're going to get into the water, and then I will stop the water so that the people can cross through. Right. So there's this promise, and so the people are going, that's cool. Priests go first. That's cool. They're watching the river. It's in flood. Have any of you seen a river in flood? If none of you have, wait until next year when the rains come and the dams fill and they open the sluice gates, and go and watch the power of water, the power of a flood, of water and flood, a river and flood. And so, so the people are like, oh, cool. Priests go first, I'm in. Let's see what happens to them. Ha ha. Could you imagine being the priest in the front? There's two of them. Bob and George. Bob and George are carrying the ark. Can you imagine as they're starting to get close to the river's edge and they're going, weren't we front last week? Isn't it somebody else's turn? Could you imagine? So what really struck me about that whole story, about those aspects of the story, is the faith that the people had in Joshua. And I wonder if it isn't because they used to watch when Moses went to the tent and Joshua lingered. And they knew his heart. They knew his story. They trusted him because he trusted God. I wonder if that isn't perhaps why they were so obedient. Because I'm telling you now, I'm not so sure if I would have been that easily convinced. And so they go into the river, they cross through the Jordan. And I'm just like, I'm mindful of all of that. So bringing, that's the context. I want to bring that back to this bold and courageous statements that God makes to Joshua, and he makes to us so that we can speak it in and over our lives. Verse 6 says, be bold and courageous. The question is for what? For what? God says, be bold and courageous. You are going to lead my people into the inheritance. You're going to lead my people into their promise. You're going to lead my people into that which they've been waiting and hoping for 40 years. To lead the people into a promise, to take hold and to believe in the promises of God for their lives. So my question this morning is God saying to us, be bold and courageous, because there are people that we have been called to lead into the promises of God. Because there are so many people wandering in the desert. There are so many people lost. There are so many people stuck in the wandering. They know God. They stand at a distance and they worship. But they're still wandering. They haven't crossed over. They haven't moved through. And maybe, just maybe, God is calling us, calling you, calling me to be bold and courageous and to lead someone out of the desert. To take hold of somebody's hand and to say, I'll be your priest. I'll be your leader. I'll be your guide. I'll be the one that leads you to the promise of God. Maybe, just maybe, God is waiting for you to step in front of somebody and say, come, follow me as I follow Jesus. Make that the most important, and come follow me as I follow Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, this morning, that's part of this call to be bold and courageous. But maybe, just maybe, it's also for you this morning. Maybe you are lost. Maybe you are wondering. Maybe you know God. Maybe you're standing at the tent every Sunday. You watch the worship. You see people being touched by God, lives being changed, and you just keep on wondering. And you come back next week, you come back next Sunday, and you come back the next Sunday, and you come back the next Sunday, and you're good. You're good, but you're not living the promise. You're good, but you're not entering into the promise, into what God has got in store for you, the fullness of the promise. Be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. Lead yourself. Lead yourself through the river. Lead yourself through the water. Be bold and courageous. Take a stand. Take a step. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for somebody else. Maybe it's for a friend, a loved one. Maybe it's for somebody. Remember in Romans 8, verse 17? You know what it says in Romans 8, verse 17? You're all supposed to just say yes. Romans 8, 17 reminds us that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. There is an inheritance waiting for us. There is the promise of God on the other side of the struggle, on the other side of the desert. There is a promise that God gives us. Verse 7 says, be bold and very courageous. I wonder why. I wonder why he amps it up just a little bit. Be bold and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of Moses. Meditate on it day and night. You know what this law represents? The law represents the word of God. The law represents, for us, in our modern context, it represents God's word, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Be bold and very courageous. Why? Because if it takes boldness and strength to stay grounded in the word. It takes courage to stay in God's word. We are challenged day by day, every day. We are challenged on all sides by distractions, by events, by life, things that happen that pull us away from the word of God, that pull us away from his truth. It doesn't stay in us. It doesn't get grounded in us. We read the word, we go out and we live the world. How many of you can relate to that? It's rhetorical. Don't put your hands up. People will judge you. They do. This is church. We read the word. We get into the word. We have devotional time in the word. We step out into our day. And before we know it, we're living the world. We're living in the world's way. We're living with the world's ideas, with the world's agendas, with the world on our lips. No more Jesus. We've got far too much of the world coming out of here. Far too much of the world. Where's your heart? Your heart's in the middle. Far too much of the world lying in here. Because it takes courage. Be bold and very courageous. Because it takes courage, an extreme amount of courage, to stay grounded in the world, to not be distracted, to not be put off, to get the world be on the outside and God's word be on the inside. There's a strength and a boldness needed to stay grounded and connected to the scriptures. And you know why? Because we will face increasingly severe opposition to God's truth in us and through us as we go out into the world. If you haven't heard, you're not in the news enough, but there was a really tragic incident that happened in the week. A young father, 31 years old, was assassinated, Charlie Kirk. And many of you must probably know, didn't know, but it's important that you know. I want to just put a disclaimer out there. I didn't agree with everything that Charlie Kirk stood for, specifically his political stuff. But at the heart of it all, he was a follower of Christ. He was a child of God. And he publicly and proudly proclaimed Jesus. And he stood for the word, the truth of the word. He had his own interpretation of the word, and I understand that and I get that. But I want to just say this morning that because of his faith in Christ, we have a father and a husband who is no longer with his family, because he stood boldly for Jesus. And you know what really came out of that? Many years ago, a quote from Craig Gruschel. I posted it on Facebook on my status and that. A quote from Craig Gruschel really just spoke to me and was, in order to reach people nobody else is reaching, we must do things nobody else is doing. And I was like, that's Joshua. That's Joshua. He did what nobody else had done. He took the people through the water. He said yes to God. He put his hand up and he said, I will go. I will go. You lead me and I will follow. What is God calling us into? What are we doing that is so different, that's touching the hearts of people in our lives, in our society, in a different way to bring them to Jesus? And the Charlie Kirk story just stands out for me. That was somebody who stood for the word, who stood for the truth. And I want to say that you could face similar persecution. That's the reality. And that's why we don't do it. That's why we don't do it. My challenge to you this morning, and I mean this, church, is to get off your iPhones and your tablets and your smartphones. Pick up the good old word, the written word. Pick up the word of God. Come to church with the word. Carry it in your hand proudly, like in the good old days, you know, the 50s and the 60s. Far too many of you laughed about that. And in the 70s and the 80s, I can remember those days. But bring the word to church. It's okay if you're on your phone. I just don't know if you're watching the word or you're watching Facebook. I know most of you aren't. But unfortunately, some of you sit in church on a Sunday. I've been told. Ek is die pastoor. Mense praat met my. Hulle sê vir my, het jy geweet? Daai tannie, né? Sê vir op die selfoon. Maar nou was nie jy nie. Sy was besig om games te speel. Bring your Bibles to church. Why are you embarrassed about it? Why are you embarrassed about it? I'm not embarrassed. It's just more convenient. No, bring your Bibles to church. And then when you leave church and you go for breakfast, worship team, take your Bibles with you. Proudly. In the good old days, under the arm, and walk proudly for who God is. Be bold and courageous, because the word of God should be what holds you, what grounds you, what anchors you. Be bold and very courageous, because it's going to take strength. It's going to take strength. You won't just do it in your natural abilities. I can tell you now, you'll take it once and you'll get the looks, and next week it'll be at home. Because you don't want to be looked at. You don't want to be frowned at. Be bold and courageous. Verse 9 says again, be bold and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We all know that one thing that holds us all back is the fear of the unknown. What holds you back? The fear of the unknown. What holds you back? It's the fear of the unknown. And I can only imagine what the people must have thought when Joshua said, pack up and get ready, 3 days we leave. And they're going, whoa, what's on the other side? For 40 years, we've traveled in this desert and we've mapped out a plan. And for a season, we're here, and then when the grass dries up and we can't feed our livestock, then we move to the next camp. And then we know what's there. We've been there. We've prepared. We know what's in store for us. We know there's shelter. We know the mountains. We know when it rains. What's on the other side of the river? Will there be provisions? Will there be shelter? What if there's people there that don't like us? Church? What if you step into the promised land, into your calling, and there's people there that don't like you? What are you going to do? Run back to the desert? Problem is, too many of us do. We run back to the past. We run back to what we know. We run back to our comfort zones. We're not prepared to stay in the calling and the promise of God. Trust in God. There comes a time in life where we have to trust and obey in order to walk into the promise that God has for us. And so, friends, here's the heartbeat of this whole bold and courageous faith. Yeah, it's the heartbeat. I want to bring it back down. Be bold and courageous as you lead. Remember that you have influence. You have influence, whether it's to your partner, whether it's to a friend, whether it's to a loved one, a colleague at work, whether it's to children, whether it's to sons and daughters or grandparents, whether you have influence. Somebody in your life is in your life and you have influence over them. Lead them into the promises of God. Be bold and courageous because you have been called to reignite the fire and the passion of God's promises in you first. Let people see that you believe in the promise. Let people see that you believe in what God's. Let them see Jesus in you. Be bold. Be bold. Be courageous. Let people see the passion of who Christ is inside of you. Let that faith ignite and let it burn, and on the outside burn. When people are burned, they remember it. Yes? They burn. No. Let's move away from the burning. Be bold. Be courageous. Let your faith be ignited. Let it touch somebody. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit reach out through you into somebody else's life. Be bold and courageous as you seek to live out the living word. Be the Bible that one person might only read. Just be the Bible. That means you've got to live the word. It means you've got to speak the word. Don't live the world, don't speak the world. Live the word and speak the word. Be bold and courageous as you face the realities of what's unknown around you. I don't know where God takes me next week. I don't know where God's going to take us for a church. But you know what happens? We stand up here as ministers and as pastors and we get so frightened of the reality of what the world holds. And so what we do is we become ministries of maintenance as opposed to be people of mission. When you speak about mission, we're speaking about going, about doing, about changing. When we speak about maintenance, it means, let's just paint here nicely. Are you guys all happy? Warm and flowery messages. Keep everybody, it was so good in church. And Jeff spoke about love. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves you, but Jesus has called you. He's called you to a purpose. He's called you into a promise. And he needs you to step up. Be bold and courageous as you face the unknown. Be bold and courageous in all you do and wherever you go for Jesus. I find it amazing that there's this synergy between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God says to Joshua 3 times, be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. It's an affirmation and it's an instruction. Be bold and courageous, go. Be bold and courageous, lead. Be bold and courageous, spend time in the Word. And Jesus says to Peter 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the modern context. Do you love me? Be bold and courageous, go and feed my sheep. Do you love me? Be bold and courageous, go out and tend the lambs, tend the sheep. Be bold and courageous, go out and do. Go out and do. And I love how I love how God says to Joshua, 3 days, on the third day, 3 days, you're going to cross through the river. 3 days, on day 3, you're going to cross through. I love how Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. I love how the third day represents new life and new hope and a future resurrection power, the glory of God, the promises of God made known to us through Christ. We can go into the Old Testament, we can see all the promises, all the struggles, all the hope, and we can read the story of Joshua, and you read it to its fullness, you see how God used him. The walls of Jericho come down, the spies are kept safe through Rahab. You read the story as it unfolds because they were bold and courageous. Friends, you have called to be bold and courageous, because can I tell you something? Your boldness, your strength, and your courage in Christ is going to lead somebody into the promised land. And if that's all what it's about, it's worth it every single step of the way. Be bold and courageous. Father, as we come this morning to you and we just allow ourselves to soak in your presence, as we allow ourselves to just be, Lord, just to be overcome, to be followers of Jesus, may our words be bold and courageous as we speak out in the challenges and the promises of who you are. May we know that we need to be bold and courageous as we choose to follow Jesus, because it can be such a scary, terrifying journey. May we be bold and courageous as we lead others to you, Jesus, because it can be overwhelming in the context of life. But Lord, spending time with you, God, spending time with you is the source of our strength. It's when we linger in your presence. It's when we linger and we stay behind and we just allow ourselves to soak, to be infused with you, that we just get to know you so much more. Lord, as Joshua chose to spend time with God, to linger in his presence, this morning I pray that we would just linger a bit, that we would soak up all of God's glory that is with us and around us, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to minister and to speak, because it's here where we find boldness, it's here where we find the courage to become doers of the word, not just hearers. And that is the call that is given to us, to become doers of the word, not just hearers. And so this morning, Lord Jesus, just as we take a moment, as we worship, as we continue to just dwell and rest in your presence this morning, would you help us? Would you open our eyes to what we are surrounded by? May we just know that as we linger in you this morning, that you have called us, you know us by name, you have a plan and you have a purpose for each one of us. May we step into that. May we step through the Jordan. May we step through the river. May we step out of the desert and into the promise of God. In the mighty name of Jesus.